Good morning. Morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Thomas Village Baptist Church, wherever you're listening or watching from. We're thankful you've come out to worship with us today, and we're thankful to have Brother Josh here to bring the Lord's message that's been placed on his heart. And we're thankful that his wife is with him. Way of announcements.
That was your call to sing.
Oh, I'm not singing. At the end of service, we'd like for members to remain seated after Brother Josh has altar call for an announcement from the deacons. And I have a card from Brother Otis and Lynn that they asked me to read. It says, thanks to everyone for the cards, messages, and phone calls we have received since Otis's accident. Your love and prayers and thoughtfulness has meant more than words can express. Also, thanks to the sewing bees for the beautiful cushions. We are thankful and blessed to be part of the loving church family. Love to each of you, Otis and Lynn. Remember to look inside the bulletin and on the back of the bulletin for ongoing activities and announcements. And remember the Dorothy Qualls family and others that have lost loved ones. And this time we'll go to the Lord in prayer, bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for each one that's come out to worship today, and pray that your blessings will be with them and their families. We thank you for Brother Josh, and Father, I pray that your blessings will be with this service, and your blessings will be with him as he brings your message, and that your blessings will be with our choir as they sing and lead us in praises to you. And I pray, Father, that we keep it all about Jesus and not ourselves, and that we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And pray most of all, if there be anyone listening that doesn't know your son Jesus, that today would be the day they know him as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Looks like everyone's ready to sing a couple songs to the Lord. Let's all stand and sing number 484, Higher Ground. 484.
To live above the world.
Turn back to number 141. It's the old rugged cross.
Change.
Thomas Village Baptist Church this morning, and we want to welcome Brother Josh Kress and his wife Courtney. Josh is going to be bringing the message this morning, and so just be very much in prayer for him. We have a lot of folks traveling. Good to have Brother Johnny back with us this morning. He's had a interesting week, I guess. Is that right, Brother Johnny? So he was in the hospital last Sunday, and he's here this Sunday, so just continue to remember him in prayer. And again, just be in prayer for Brother Josh as he brings a message. And again, just after we after his message, an altar call, if the members will remain seated. We've got just a little bit of business this morning we want to announce from the deacons. And with that, Brother Josh, could you please come and just do what the Lord leads you this morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to be back here. I don't know how long it's been since I was here last time, but I guess, can you guys hear me okay? I can never hear myself when I'm up here. So, but it's good to be back here. I can't remember where I was. I was driving somewhere, and we got to where we were going, and I was waiting, I think, on my my wife. I think it might have been Food City or something. I was sitting in the parking lot. And if we just need a couple things, I'm not a person to say, yeah, I'll go in with you. I'm going to sit in the truck if I can. But anyways, I was scrolling through, and actually her uncle that is visiting, he's here now. He's a choir director for a church in Arkansas. And he posted a thing on Facebook for choir members. And I just want to congratulate you guys on your choir. Not a lot of churches have choirs anymore. It's good to hear a choir sing and give praise to the Lord on Sunday mornings. It's good for everybody to stand and sing as a congregation and let all the voices unite and praise the Lord. But it's something special to still see a choir sing. So just praise for that. Just give yourself a hand for that if you don't mind. This morning, if you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll be in Nehemiah 1. To be honest with you, all week, ever since I talked to Otis about coming up here, had no idea what the Lord wanted me to say this morning until probably yesterday evening about 7 o'clock. And we were at a function that our church was doing that me and Corey attend. We had a little hayride and stuff, and I was driving my truck, pulling some people on the hayride, and I looked at Corey and I said, I still don't know what the Lord wants me to say tomorrow. She goes, well, something will come. And we started talking, and I said, you know, I said, all my devotions this week have been on studying Nehemiah. And some of the things I had went through this week kind of related to this. And as I got to studying, the Lord started bringing more out of it that I hadn't seen before. And so I thought, okay, Lord, is this where you want me to go? And he reaffirmed that last night after I got home and this morning. So I feel pretty positive this morning about the message here in Nehemiah for you guys this morning as a congregation. So read with me the first chapter. It'll be 11 verses in Nehemiah 1. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Version. It says, verse 1, it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chisleve, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity and the great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins and the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you have commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. There are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. Just pray with me for a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the morning. God, thank you for this fellowship of believers here. God, I ask that you would be with us during the message, be with us during the rest of the service and the things to come this evening. God, I ask that you would just guide the words that are coming out of my mouth. And Lord, we just ask that they would be truth to all of us, that your word would ring just loud and clear this morning. God, we thank you for all you do. Thank you for being here with us during this time and for all the other churches around the area meeting. God, we just pray that everything would be just glory to your name this morning. We ask all this in your name. Amen. So, there's a problem here, okay? Nehemiah, is basically hanging out, right? He's doing his duties. He is, as we see in verse 11, a cupbearer to the king. Now, remember that the cupbearer is not just the person who drinks a little bit of something and then gives it to the king to make sure he doesn't die first. You know, as you're growing up and you're teaching this stuff to the kids and things, a lot of that gets put into perspective, you know, in a certain way. But when you start researching, you start doing a little more, you start understanding that Nehemiah wasn't just a person to test food to make sure it was safe for the king. He was like the king's almost number one, okay? He was head of the staff. He made sure everything was going right. He consulted with the king on different aspects. There was all kinds of things Nehemiah done. So he wasn't just a random person who worked in the palace or worked in the kingdom or whatnot. He was one of the king's most trusted people. And I'm sure that the king went through a lot of people trying to find the right one. So there was a lot of trust involved, okay? It was a pretty long-standing position that he had. He was well taken care of. I'm sure the king wanted to make sure he was taken care of so that the king himself would be taken care of. There was a lot into his position. Okay, so he's there, he's doing his duties, and I kind of read the first three verses like this. Just kind of go with me on this for a minute. So he had been at work, okay, went home, just kind of like some of us do. You know, we go to work, we go home, and all of a sudden it says a brother and some of his friends came over, and they're like, you know, hey, how's things going? How's this going? And I'm sure they kind of had some small talk. And like, how's the game? What happened? You see the touchdown, this and that. What was the score? And after all that's kind of said and done, Nehemiah asked the question. He said in verse 2, he said, I asked concerning the Jews who had escaped and survived. And in verse 3, here's their response. Okay, look a little closer at it. They said to me, the remnant there. You guys understand what remnant is? It just means a piece of, or what's left over, or a very small amount of what was. Okay, that's a remnant. All right, so they're saying what's left, all right, is just a little bit. Okay, so this little bit that's left over says there in the province who survived the captivity, they are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So back in this time, walls were important, okay? Nowadays, the walls aren't super important anymore, are they? I mean, nowadays, we've got all kinds of stuff, you know, that we can defend ourselves with. One of the greatest things ever built in the world was the Great Wall of China. And it was built, you know, in the time frame where walls were still being used for defenses, okay? And the Great Wall of China was built over a period of 2,000 years, and it's over 13,000 miles long. So it's a pretty impressive thing that they've done, that they built, that now doesn't mean anything. It's just a historical thing, basically. You know, it's still impressive to see something that was built, and especially the age it was built in, like one of my past things, my grandpa was a contractor, so we grew up, you know, I was building houses and things. And, you know, we build a house, and all of a sudden you see something that's magnificent and being built. It's like, man, how did they even do that, you know? But some things are pretty impressive to see. The wall in that day for China, it guarded their boundary from east to west. Went from the sea all the way so far, 13,000 miles, okay? And so for them, it was defense, all right? It wasn't all defense. There was barracks there. All kinds of stuff were built into this wall. And for Nehemiah and for his time, for Jerusalem, what little people were left and having no wall to defend them just left them defenseless. I mean, anybody could have came in and completely finished off or wiped out or whatever would have happened, okay? So for Nehemiah, these were his people. And I can imagine, I don't know if I can imagine, I don't think I could imagine what he felt, okay? I don't know if you can imagine how he really, truly felt, all right? So at this point, think about yourself. Think about you're catching up with some friends, catching up with some family members, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, got some bad news. So-and-so had a hurricane go through, and it demolished everything, and there's nothing they can do. I grew up in Florida. Never experienced a truly bad hurricane where we lived at. It seemed like it always would go a little bit north or a little bit south of us. We had some effects of it, but we've been to plenty of places where it has affected on mission trips and things like that. Even up here, we've been to Kentucky, you know, where the floods happened a little over a year ago, and just different things. You guys have experienced certain things in your life where there's catastrophes, right? And I remember a little over a year ago when we went up to Kentucky, we gathered some stuff in a trailer and took it up there, me and my wife and another lady from church. And we went and dropped it all off. And I was talking to a man, and we were up at a school delivering the stuff. And he said, "You see that way down there?" And he was pointing to the bottom where most of the town was. He said, "You see that rooftop down there?" I said, "Yeah, it was on a two-story building." And he said, "All you could see was the roof of that building when the floods came through." And it just completely wiped out a bunch of stuff. Some of you probably seen it, probably heard of it, may have relatives near it, went through some things like that. But the hurricanes down in Florida, Louisiana, and Alabama, and places like that, when they first hit the coast, it can do a lot of damage. And I grew up going to the Florida Keys, fishing and lobstering and things like that when I was younger. And last time I went down there, it was 2 years after a hurricane had come through. And there was still a lot of places that were just leveled, just foundations. Most of the homes down there are built on piers, you know, so people park their cars underneath, they walk upstairs to get in, and that way they prepare for the flood. You know, when the floods come in, hopefully the house is standing and the water runs through and it goes away and everything's back to normal in a few days. But there was lots of places just leveled, just concrete pads after pad after pad. And bad things can happen, all right? Bad things can happen. So you can imagine, kind of relate yourself to what he's seeing here and the remnants of what's left. All right, so after that, let's look at his response in verse 4. He says, "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." This starts a prayer that we're going to get into a little bit. And tonight, I think we'll go a little bit deeper into this prayer and the aspects of it. But listen to his prayer in verse 5. It says, "I said, I beseech you, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments." Now, everything is devastated, right? It's all broken down. All the bars, all the walls, all the gates are burned down. Everything's done. And he starts out with the first aspect of his prayer of praise. It's hard to do, especially after he's been in days of sitting down, weeping and mourning, okay, fasting. He says, "God of heaven, the great and awesome God." It's like, how can you really truly say the great and awesome God when God's chosen people are just the remnant left? It's hard to do these things. "Who preserves the covenant." Now notice he's not asking for anything yet. He's not making any requests. He's remembering the covenant God made between his people and him. All right? On one condition at the end of verse 5. It says, "and keep his commandments." So for those people that love him and keep his commandments. All right? Keep that in mind as we go on. In verse 6, the prayer continues. He says, "Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned." So there's a prayer of repentance here. First, he starts off with praise, calling God an awesome God for who he is, giving thanks for his covenant and his loving kindness, and now he's asking for repentance. And in verse 7, he continues on. He says, "We have acted corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses." Now, the next part of this verse, and I'm sure you've seen it a lot through Scripture, different prayers that have been prayed. Okay, a lot of prayers incorporate Scripture or promises that the Lord has given to you that you can call back to the Lord. Not that the Lord doesn't remember them, But you can say, Lord, you said this, and I'm holding to it. I need you to act according to what you said in this circumstance so that your will can be done. Okay, so a lot of times our prayers don't line up with this, you see. But see what he says here. He starts to recall what the Lord says in verse 8. He says, remember the word which you have commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. There's one statement. In verse 9, he says, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Now, this is a request, okay? This is the part of the prayer after the thanks and after the praise and after the repentance, he starts to make his request. And he makes his request made known to the Lord, and the things he makes known to the Lord are also what the Lord wants for his people also. They're in agreement with this prayer and what they both want, and they know it's of the Lord's will, all right? Because the Lord has already previously said these things out. You can find these things in Deuteronomy where, and part of Leviticus, where he starts to give these things to the people. And these are the things he promises to the people back then, and now Nehemiah is referring back to them. So in verse 10, he says, they are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Finish up in verse 11, O Lord, I beseech you. This is after the request. Okay, this is a completely different part of the prayer. It says, O Lord, I beseech you that you may be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name. And make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. What he's doing here is he's asking for a commitment. Okay, he's asking the Lord, he says, my heart goes out to these people. You have put this burden on me. And I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation before, but you hear some bad news and the Lord just puts it inside you. And there's something in your gut that says, man, I need to do something about this. And a lot of times, you know, we come to church and we meet in our Sunday school classes or we meet for Bible study or, you know, whatnot, and we mention prayer requests. And a lot of times that's as far as it goes. You know, we mention them. We say, oh, no, that's such bad news. And we say, okay, let's pray about it. And we say a quick two-minute prayer. And then the rest of the week we forget about it, right? I mean, a lot of times, let's just be honest, that's what we do. I've done it before. A lot of times we take our prayer requests that, like, I used to teach Sunday school, and I'm in a Sunday school class now where we write down our prayer requests. And we're trying to do a better job of remembering those and communicating throughout the week on being in prayer for those people and those requests. And a lot of times we just come to church on Sunday and we get so busy, and it's not of our own fault or of any ill will. It's just we get to do in life, and we really, it's not our problem, so we don't remember it. We don't think about it. But sometimes the Lord puts things on your heart where you can't let it go. And you say, man, I can't quit thinking about this. It becomes a burden to you, okay? And it becomes on your heart and inside you, and it becomes something that you just can't get rid of. And that's where Nehemiah is. He's praying this prayer after days of mourning and weeping and fasting and praying to the Lord. And finally, he says in verse 11, he asks for commitment to help with this situation. He says, I beseech you, be attentive to my prayer. He's been praying these prayers. He's saying, Lord, listen to me now. Acknowledge me. Give me the strength that I need. Help me to be successful. Grant compassion. And so within this, when we come across something to where we are like, can't get rid of this, you know, it's something that's personal. It's something that's happened. It's something that keeps you awake at night. The Lord's not letting you sleep. Did you know sleep is a gift from the Lord? I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not, but sometimes you can just give things to the Lord after you can't sleep, and then he just allows you the peaceable sleep that you need. And sometimes we just take that for granted, that we sleep good every night. Used to, when I was growing up, you know, we'd work, we had cattle and construction, you know, it'd be wore out at the end of the day. And my grandpa always told me, he said, son, that'll help you sleep at night. And it does help you sleep at night, because a lot of times you're too tired to think about anything. So that gift from the Lord is rest and renewal. And that's what we're supposed to do on Sundays. We're supposed to come here, find rest in the Lord, read His Scripture, let His truth reveal in our lives, and He gives us rest through it. And that's where Nehemiah is right now. He's asking for that rest. He's asking for that commitment. He's asking for that assurance. He's asking for the Lord to be able to grant him compassion and to give him good leadership. And so I'll give you a, since I'm here this morning, this would be a really good series, but since I don't know if I'll be back or not or when I might be back, just to give you a little bit about how the story ends. In Nehemiah 6:15, it says that in 52 days after he got there, the wall was completed and built. Now, this is after years and years and years of the wall being down. Okay? So, after years and years and years of this happening, he finds out about it. The Lord puts it on his heart. He goes to him, and within 52 days of the Lord's will and leadership that the Lord gives to Nehemiah, the wall's rebuilt. Okay? And things are getting back, put back in place, and Ezra comes back into place. And Ezra's been there for years already, but Ezra starts putting into practice the ways of the Lord to the people, teaching them prayer, teaching them Bible study. And they start a commitment there at the end of Nehemiah. Okay, so everything comes forward for them. So this wall, though, getting it built was the burden that Nehemiah was given. It's something that he wouldn't have been able to do without the Lord's help. So it's important that we recognize the prayer before we look for the answer to the problem. Does that make sense? A lot of times we just say, hey, there's a problem, and especially as a guy, like especially me as in construction, like I can fix it. We used to watch this little cartoon with our kids. I think it was called, was it Felix or, Mr. Fix-It? But anyway, he's like, I can fix it. And then there's another movie came out called Wreck-It Ralph. I don't know if some of you have seen that. And he's like, I can fix it, you know. But a lot of times that's my mentality. I'm like, oh, that's the problem. I can fix it. But rarely do we recognize in a spiritual problem the need to ask God for help. A lot of times we just want to say, oh, I know what to do, and I fix it. And a lot of times it backfires on us, and we can't fix it. I mean, I've been there several times. So here's the thing. Nehemiah, this is a little bit of the history, okay, in the beginning. Nehemiah, it says in Nehemiah 1 that the month of Chislev, now I don't know how to pronounce the right pronunciation, but this month, whichever month it was, he hears about this news. And then in Nehemiah 2 verse 1, it says in the month of Nisan. Okay? Now, from what I've read and understand, that's about a 4.5 month period between the time that he heard about the problem and started mourning and weeping and fasting and praying to the time that he was actually noticed by the king, and we'll read that in just a minute, that something's wrong. And for him, part of his job was to keep the king happy, right? So if he was in a bad mood and the king saw it, and the king got in a bad mood, literally, Nehemiah could be eliminated. I mean, just for something as simple as that. So let me read just a couple of verses here in Nehemiah 2 to kind of see the answer to the Nehemiah's prayer. All right? So it says, starting in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart.' He says, 'Then I was very much afraid,'" because he knew something, the king knew something was up. All right. Verse 3, "I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?" So Nehemiah didn't go to a political thing. He made this a personal issue. He said, "I'm sad because the place of my father's tombs, my hometown, is a remnant. It's desolate. There's nothing hardly left there." It would be like, for me personally, knowing that something bad just happened in Central Florida and it wiped out my grandmother's house, my parents' house, my wife's family's houses. and people were, and they were had nowhere to go, nothing to work with, nothing to do. I think that would be a burden to me. I think I'd be making my way down there with some supplies to help rebuild. But in Nehemiah's case, he didn't have the liberty to do that. He was with the king, okay? He was the number one. Even for him to ask or to make this something political, he could have been executed for it. So the way the Lord works these things out, and if you do a little more history, I won't get too much into it, but if you do a little more history, the surrounding areas and the things that this king, now King Artaxerxes was a pagan king, okay? He was a pagan king. He was not of the Lord, but Nehemiah was underneath him. And so the Lord had been preparing things in a regional aspect to where it would be beneficial for the king to let him go and do what he needed to do to get it rebuilt. Does that make sense? For him, strategically, as a king, it would have made sense for him. So, basically, the king asks him what's wrong. He says what's wrong, and he keeps it between him. He doesn't say, King, you could benefit from this if you just let me go. He keeps it on a personal level, and he says, this is why I'm sad. So then, let's see how the Lord answers his prayer. In verse 4, then the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now notice he didn't just run off and jump off and say, hey, yeah, I need to go. I need this and this and this. He prayed again. Now I don't know if this was a quick like standing before the king and say, oh God, help me, you know? Or if this was took a few days to think about it, prayed about it, and then got back to the king. I don't know what it was like. But anyway, he prayed before he answered. In verse 5 it says, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, with the queen sitting by his side, this is another thing that you got to dig into a little bit. I don't know how to really say this, but as a man, I tend to be more strict, like not caring about the little things. But when my wife's with me, she's like, oh, we need to dress that up with some flowers. And I'm like, we don't need to spend money on flowers. You know what I mean? But she brings a different perspective. And while all this is happening, it says in verse 6, the queen is sitting by his side. And I can imagine her, you know, going over there and going, let him go. You know what I mean? Slapping him on the shoulder. If you don't let him go, I will not cook for you or whatever, you know. Which I'm sure that she didn't cook or whatever. But, you know, I'm just saying, relate it to today's, you know what I mean? If my wife was pestered me about it, I would say, okay, honey, you know, and we would let it go, or we would help out, or we would do whatever. But the Lord worked it out to where when this happened, and he was able to pray about it and then give his answer to the king, the queen was there also. So it got to both of them. And so just little things like that, to where the Lord works all this stuff out. But later on in verse 6, it says, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. So Nehemiah knew what was going on. He was a man of action. He knew what it would take in order to rebuild, and he told the king, he said, I will be gone for X amount of time, and I will be back. And the king said, okay. And so in verse 7, he said, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river. So basically, he's got a king's letter saying that he's in charge. He's the governor of that area. And so, in verse 8, it says, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates and the fortresses, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me, because the good hand of my God was on me. Then I came to the governors and the provinces beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent me with officers of the army and horsemen. And so I'm going to stop right there for just a second. God used a pagan king to give Nehemiah, which is a person who shouldn't have been able to leave, permission. Not only did he give him permission, he gave him a written letter to govern the area, letting everybody know that he was in charge on the king's behalf. And he also gave him a letter to say, hey, whatever building materials you need, you get them from my forest and you go help rebuild that thing and get it done. So, I mean, talk about how the Lord works things out, all right? Now, keep in mind what I said earlier. This was a 4.5 month wait, okay? A lot of times we go into prayer for things, and we say, God, we need an answer, you know? And a lot of times God will answer like this. He'll answer yes, or he'll answer no, or he'll be silent. You guys heard that before? I think in this time, 4.5 months of silence before things worked out, before Nehemiah saw the answer, probably was a little working on Nehemiah. I mean, I don't know how he would have been able to keep a good attitude before the king for 4.5 months. And so, I mean, I don't know how things worked, but I know that Nehemiah probably said, you know, hey, king, everything's great. How are you today? And this and that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And then probably that last 3 or 4 weeks, he probably started getting a little bit stressed because things were a burden on him. He knew how things were. And so with that, with all that going on, Nehemiah never stopped. Okay, he still fasted. He still wept. He still prayed. He still asked God for guidance. And so all through these things, the Lord was working it out. So if you're in a situation this morning and you have a burden on you, and it's weighing you down, and you haven't got an answer from the Lord, or maybe you have, it's a yes or it's a no, first of all, recognize that a little bit of praise in your prayer. God, you are an awesome God. You are wonderful. You know everything. Go give him some thanks. Give him some praise for his answer. And if he hasn't answered you yet, it doesn't mean that he hasn't heard you. It just means that he's working things out. And if your prayer is aligning with his will, remember the scripture that Nehemiah prayed? He said, God, your will line up with my will. And so by doing that and professing that scripture back to the Lord, he knew things were right. And so he knew he would get an answer. And as soon as he did, things started to work out in his favor. Now, just because they worked out in his favor doesn't mean it was all Skittles and rainbows after that. You see what I'm saying? Things were still a problem. And that's where it starts out in verse 10 of chapter 2. I'm not going to get into that part of the story. But things were not easy for Nehemiah during those 52 days of rebuilding. There was lots of threats, lots of sabotage, lots of bad talk, a lot of discouragement. People were getting afraid. People were getting scared. But the Lord gave him things. The Lord said, hey, use it like this. Use it like this. He helped him work through that. So whatever the situation is in your life this morning, wherever you are as a church or an individual, God's working things out. You have to believe that. You have to understand that. And it doesn't mean that it's just going to be nice and things are going to be easy and all your plates are going to be full all the time. It means that you might still have to work. But it means that the things and the work and the progress and the things that you go through in order to make that happen are making you the person you need to become for the next thing the Lord is going to have you do. Does that make sense? It's just going to build upon itself and you're going to become stronger and stronger. And so I can imagine what Nehemiah is going through now and the things he had been through in the past built him up to this point. And now after he gets done rebuilding this wall, you find out later he eventually is able to return to Jerusalem and to Judah. And the things that he might have done after that weren't recorded, I don't know, but I'm sure the Lord still used him, you know. And the things that you're going through now are the things that the Lord is building you and giving you strength, and he's giving you those calluses on your hands so that when you're working with that barbed wire, it's not going to hurt you as much, you know, because life's like that. Every once in a while, you get stuck by a barb, and it just hurts. But you heal up, you get better, and you work through it. And so sometimes we get down, sometimes things don't go our way. But remember the prayer before the solution. All right, that's the main message this morning. Nothing is too big or too small for God in prayer. I got this, I'm going to read this to you. I wrote it, it's not very long, out of a Tony Evans commentary. It says, a woman once said to the British evangelist G. Campbell Morgan, I only take small things to God because I don't want to worry him with the big ones. And to this he replied, lady, anything you bring to God is small. We tend to magnify our problems right? We try to make our things bigger than what they really are. But instead, we should be magnifying God and putting Him into perspective, because He's over everything. He's bigger than anything we can dream up, okay? We should magnify Him instead. If we rightly see Him for who He is, we'll never see our problems as too much for Him to handle. So think about that this morning. Nehemiah had something that was bigger than him. He had something that was he couldn't handle by himself, and it burdened him. So if you're burdened with something this morning, understand that nothing is too big or too small for you to bring before the Lord, because He's over it all. There's nothing that He can't understand. There's nothing that He can't comprehend. There's nothing that He can't fix, as long as it lines up with His will. Now, obviously, you can't be praying for things that's personal gain. You can't be praying for things that's selfish or self-righteous. These things are having to line up with Him. And so, to kind of finish up this morning, I want you to turn to Psalms 103. All right? I'm going to pull this off of my phone. I'm going to read this scripture. I think it's about 18 or 19 verses. It's out of the New American Standard. If you are burdened this morning, or maybe this will be a good prayer for your church, remember the steps of the prayer. And I think we'll probably go into that a little bit more this evening if you come back during a little bit of Bible study time. Let's read this verse, and I want you guys to follow along with me in your verses, and I want you to read it with me, and I want you to offer this as I read it as a prayer, okay? Think about this psalm that David wrote as I read it, and whatever you're thinking of right now, whether it's personal or corporate or something at work or something with family, anything that's going on in your life, I want you to read this and think about the praise and the thanks before you get into the repentance and the request and the commitment, okay? So let's focus on this part of our prayer first. We already recognize that we need to go to the Lord in prayer before we seek the answers, but let's categorize our prayer first, and let's read this together. I'll read it for you. You follow along, and just think about this as a prayer in whatever situation you have. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses. He acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you and His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this study of Nehemiah. Thank you for the lesson on prayer before the answer. God, we want to seek you in all that we do. We want to offer this psalm up to you, this Psalm 103 that David wrote. We want to offer this to you this morning as a praise and as a thanksgiving of all the many things and all the blessings that you give us. Lord, we want to bless your name this morning. God, just thank you for how awesome and how wonderful and compassionate and loving that you are, Lord. God, we ask that you would just allow us to understand the perspective of where we are and where you are. Help us to understand the perspective that you are bigger than any burden that you may put on us. Just like Nehemiah had his burden, Lord, and you helped him with his, and he was able to be successful. He was able to become that leader for his people. Lord, I pray for this church, and I pray for the people here, whatever burdens that they have this morning, whatever is on their heart. God, I ask that they would give you this praise, that they would offer this sincerely to you, and that they would take the time to fast and to pray and to mourn and to consider you before any answers and to give you the praise and the glory and the thanks before we ask for our repentance. God, I pray that you would give this church the strength, the commitment, and these individuals, those commitments and those strengths, Lord. Let them use their talents for your benefit. And God, I just pray that their will would line up with yours in the days to come and the decisions that need to be made and the things that are going to go on. Lord, we give this these next few minutes to you at the altar call. Lord, I just pray that if anybody has anything on their hearts or minds, that you would be able to reveal that to them and help them to just get with whoever they need to get with. If they need to come forward, God, give them the strength, the ability to come forward to ask for prayer, to help deal with these things and to get these things known. And help us as a congregation, Lord, to see those needs and to be able to have them a shared burden among us. Lord, help us to go about our week in remembrance of these things and not just forgetful of these things. So, Lord, we give all this time to you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. We'll have a few minutes here. If anybody needs to come forward, if anybody doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, feel free to come forward. I'll be here to help you out. I'm sure there's other men here that'll help you out. If there's anything you need prayer for, come forward. I'll be right down here, right down front. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Josh. Appreciate that message this morning. Thank you very much. Let's just bow our head for about a minute here, and just let's pray. And if the Lord's leading you to come up front here, I'm sure someone will come up here and pray with you, Brother Josh or anyone. So let's just take a few minutes to consider the message this morning, and then we'll go into we'll end the service and go into just a short business meeting. All right, let's just close in prayer here. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Josh this morning as he brought the message, Lord, and a very timely message, Lord. And we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your promises to us and your will that you tell us in your word. We thank you for his message, that message that you gave through Brother Josh this morning, Lord. And we just ask you to bless him as he comes again this evening. And, Lord, just bless our hearts. Help us to remember who you are. And remember that you are the creator of this world. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. And that you, Lord, and you alone are worthy to be served. And we give you that praise, Lord. We give you a praise for all the blessings of this week and protections you've given us, Lord. We thank you that you've assembled us here this morning. And Lord, just help us to humble ourselves before you. And as we do sing your praises, Lord, that if there is something in our lives that we need to repent, Lord, we just ask you to bring that to our attention and that we would come, Lord, and we would just ask for repentance, Lord. And knowing that you are faithful to forgive us, Lord, when we confess our sins, we're so grateful for that, Lord. And from that moment forward, once we confess, Lord, you take that burden from us, Lord, and we're so grateful for that. Again, we just ask you to bless us this day, Lord. Give us strength and protect us and guide us as we travel. And as we come back this evening, Lord, to listen to your word and study your word again, that you would just be with him, Brother Josh, and that you would be with us as a church. In Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.